I want to continue, and as I was praying about this message, start turning into your Bibles, Colossians chapter 1, Colossians. Go to the back of your Bible, hang a left, keep going, but go slow, and you'll get to a book called Colossians. It was a church called Colossae that the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to. It's called an epistle, and there's some great studies out of this book. And as I began to study Colossians chapter 1, the Lord began to just share some things with me. And then I want to share them with you. As I was praying about this message and you wanted a title, then it could be titles. For example, these are weapons that you're about to learn, weapons that a believer needs living in the end times. And I believe, and I hope you do, that we are in the end of the end times. We're not just in the end times, I think we're in the end of them, where Jesus could return at any time. I saw where Russia now is being politicked by Chechnya or whatever, and their leaders, and then other small allies of Russia, and there's not very many of them, to use some, and what they say, small nuclear weapons on Ukraine and in that war. And I'm like, wow. Because anything nuclear kills everybody. Even the people that send over nuclear weapons, that the nuclear part of it spreads backwards. So not only does it kill people in wherever the target is hit, it kills people from miles away, including Russians. And so it really made me start thinking about the end times. Now, is this an opportunity to get in fear? Absolutely not, because we all know that that's the opposite of faith. But as a pastor, I hope every pastor in this country and in this world is preparing the believer to know what to do when things happen in our world. And they're happening pretty quick, even in the United States. It's amazing that just over a few short years, how our country has went to a Bible-believing country with prayer in school, saying the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation, under God, indivisible, and so on. How now our country is going away from all that because of the people that we elect. And they're trying to then take out any reference of God. And then the confusion, oh my, of marriage, etc. All that is not what we've been taught and raised up in. Okay, so are we going to digress to their beliefs? Or are we going to stand on the principles of the Word of God as believers in Jesus Christ? Well, yes, the latter, right? We're gonna stay hooked on the kingdom of God. Kingdom principles, and all of them are found in the Word of God, but they're really magnified in Colossians chapter 1. And so I want to continue on giving you weapons that will help you defeat any devil in hell. Now, let me again try to set it up to help you understand what we're talking about here, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus, I did it, I gave my life to Jesus, I confessed Him as Lord, May the 10th, 1979. Otis Baptist Church in Otis, New Mexico, right outside of Carlsbad. I walked down the front of the church. I gave my life to the Lord Jesus, and it was a glorious time. Went back home to mom and dad. I was very excited. Now my dad was a pastor. Mom and dad led music at churches all over the country. Well, primarily down south, New Mexico, Arizona, and, you know, even Texas. And I was very excited about what had happened to me. Well, let me tell you what happened. You have to understand that there's two salvation. I mean, there's two baptisms and being born in two ways. One of the flesh, obviously, and then one of the spirit. And so you have to understand that when you're born in the spirit, then you do things like how you're born. And obviously we know that we're called Christians. Okay. Now, obviously that's so basic to all of us, but we have to start going back to the basics so that we really understand that there's a difference between being born in the flesh and being born in the spirit. Because the flesh isn't going to last very long, but the spirit lasts for eternity in one place or another. A born again believer, then obviously we're going to spend eternity with our Creator, God Almighty. Get excited about that. Because we've got to get excited in order to overcome some things that are happening in these last days. Okay? So last week, we started talking about some weapons that God's given us. And we got, you know, we got all the way to about verse 10, through verse 10. And we might have started into verse 11, Colossians chapter 1. But I think we need to continue to read what the Apostle Paul was trying to tell this church and then all of us believers, so that we know then how to operate in the kingdom that now we're born into. Because again, when you gave your life to Jesus, when you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're in a new kingdom. You're not in the kingdom that we all live in right now that is very sin-natured. We live in a different kingdom, the kingdom of light. Praise God. And so, with all that in mind, understanding that we live in the kingdom of God, even though we live in this world, that's why, remember, the Bible says we live in the world, but not of the world. The reason we don't live of the world is because we are supposed to, as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, to live a different way in the kingdom of God through His dear Son, Jesus, the light, living by this Bible from front to back. And if we will do that and understand the difference between the world system, the sinful nature system that caused when Satan got kicked out of heaven and tempted Adam and Eve, the difference between that kingdom and the kingdom of Jesus Christ and what He did for us, you'll be able to overcome a whole lot of things in the end times. Especially when the devil knows that his end is near. That's why he's going to attack people's bodies. That's why he attacks people's marriages. That's why he attacks people's finances. That's why he tries to get you off of the blessing of God and on the world system. Is because if he can attack you where you digress and you back away from God, and we're all seeing that in today's world, right? I mean, it's very, very, you know, it's very prophetic, let's say, that we're seeing people walk away from the faith that we would have never dreamed would walk away from the faith. I saw a deal, just an example, where y'all have probably all seen the Hillsong scandals, and man, the Hillsong, that was major, major worship music. Churches from Australia and then went all over the United States and Europe, etc., Well, now there's a scandal, and that church is going downhill. And one of the founders of that movement, let's say, has walked away from God. Matter of fact, he says, what I saw by starting Hillsong churches and all the political and the to make finances and all of that junk, I don't even know if there's a God anymore. So we're seeing even people that we believed were men and women of God, Jesus was their Lord, we're looking now and they are away from the faith. Now they might just be backslidden, that's what I'm praying. But just because of an attack, you're going to stop believing what your Creator created? Not with me is in the helm. Not with me as a pastor of this church. Not with you as a believer in Jesus Christ. I feel like I need to come down here. You know, get that boldness. Not with all of us believers standing up and getting our shoulders back. And it's okay to take a little bit of persecution. That ain't going to hurt me. I read the Bible. Matthew says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. But sin, ooh, it jacks people up. They get into this tough time and boy, this the devil hammers and hammers and hammers, and then some people, human beings, hammer them just as well. Before you know it, they are tired and they give up and they try to do it a different way. But not us. We're going to continue serving God. If we mess up, we understand there's grace and mercy and forgiveness, praise God. Okay? Now, the Apostle Paul deals with all of this, all of the attacks, right here in Colossians chapter 1. And he's teaching us that there are weapons that you and I can use. All we use it because we are believers. We have rights to have this stuff in our lives. We have rights. And then he spells it out. So let's just get into it. And allow our hearts to receive and our minds to start thinking like we're fixing to hear. So that when attacks do come, and they will, there'll be trials and tribulations, y'all. But are you going to succumb to them? Where suicide and depression are more prevalent in your life? Or are you going to stand on the Word of God and be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb? Are you going to give in to that old religious way? I'm just here at church just to, you know, hopefully make heaven. Or are you going to take a hold of the Word of God and be a doer of it and be that overcomer that God's called you to be? Okay, check out all this good stuff then. Okay. Now, we left off pretty much with verse 10, that you might walk worthy in the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. And we talked about fruitful, how that word fruit, it just simply means the blessings of God. And I like how we talked about this, how God used the word fruit when he's wanting us to be fruitful, because all of us know that fruit is very good for us. And the fruit of the Spirit, when you study it out, is very good for you, because if you walk in just that one fruit called love, oh man, there won't be anything that can bother you. I mean nothing. Getting cut off in Austin's traffic won't even bother you. Amen. Just with that one fruit called love. But what about joy? What about patience? Okay, let's look at some of these things. Okay, after the fruit of every good work, it says this, increasing in the knowledge of God. I want to camp on this just for a quick second, because again, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't want to get stagnant. We all know that stagnant water begins to stink. You don't want to get stagnant even in your belief system. That's why it's saying you've got to increase in the knowledge of God. That's why you're at church, praise God. That's why you go to Bible study. That's why you look at the Word of God at home. That's why you listen to the right music, etc. It's because you're wanting, hopefully, to increase in the knowledge of our God. And that has to be something that you have to want to do. Now, if you're in God's kingdom, then you're going to want to do it. And you might want to wonder and ask yourself, if you're not really wanting to pursue God, of course, that's not all of us or the people that are watching, because we're pursuing God right here by just showing up to church, by watching us live on TV or however they're watching. So you're wanting to increase, but that's the key, is don't get stagnant. Continue to want to learn about your God. And the only way to learn it, it's going to come from a preacher. Because that's what the Bible says, man. You'll start learning from the called man or woman of God. And that's why you then have a pastor, a teacher, an epistle, a prophet, or an evangelist. Is they're going to try to help you. But you can also teach others what you've learned here. Because it's really important to want to increase in the knowledge of God. And I'm not saying that you're worshiping some preacher, because that's a bad mistake. I heard someone the other day say that if you're smart, son, you need to be like me. And you know what I say? No, if you're smart, you need to be like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. So increasing in the knowledge of God, that's why you do have ministers. But man, just reading the Word of God and being led by His Spirit as a son and daughter of God, you can learn a whole lot that the preacher don't have time to teach you. The key is, and here again is one of the weapons, is continue to want to gain knowledge or increase in the knowledge of God. Okay, now let's go to verse 11. Ready? It says, and strengthened, that ought to be a word you underline, because we need strength. That's why the Bible's clear about saying, let the weak say, I'm strong. Because you know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to confess how weak you are, how bad off you are, how ugly you are, how your body looks that's not pleasing to your eye, possibly. And he wants you to confess all this stuff, so that's all you meditate on. What a lie from the devil, though. Because as a creator of God Almighty, in God's image, he created you perfect, praise God. So you've got to start confessing to yourself, no, I'm made in God's image. I'm made in his likeness. I am his favorite son. I'm his favorite daughter. I am someone in Christ. God is my Father, and He loves me. Now, I'm not saying be boastful to people, but at least you ought to be saying it to yourself, because the devil wants you to say all the other stuff. So that's why it's important to say, let the weak say I'm strong. I am strong. I am strong because of the Lord Jesus that lives on the inside of me, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto what? Here's a weapon. All patience and long suffering. I won't get to this last part yet, so don't read it. Jump over to the Amplified, and it says, we pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of endurance. Because listen to me, look at me, y'all. Patience, that's what really patience is enduring. Because if you don't have patience, then you're going to fall to some things. You're going to stop believing the things that you're believing God for. But if you have endurance, if you start confessing, you know what? The Bible says when you've done all you can do to stand. So I'm going to stand. And I'm going to keep standing. I'm going to stand on this word of God until the manifestation of what I'm believing for comes to pass. I am not giving up. I am a winner. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. You see what I'm saying? So endurance is very, very important. And patience, perseverance, forbearance, and then it gets into the next part. But the first part of the weapon is patience. Endure, y'all. Stop giving up. Stop having that mentality to quit. When temptation comes, and temptation looks for all, right? I mean, you might just be walking down the road and trip over temptation, not looking for it, but then the temptation's there, okay? What do you do, though? Do you fall to the temptation because it's strong? If the body is hurting, and it's hurting, and you're confessing, Father, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed? Or are you going to give up on that confession if it don't happen immediately like now faith says? Or are you going to endure and keep believing, and keep believing, and keep confessing? So that, man, that thing is going to come to pass the more you say it and believe it and confess it. Body, line up in the name of Jesus. Pain, leave in Jesus' name. And then you might get some believers. I need my believers. You agree with me? And then you'll say, you got it, brother. What do you want me to agree with? Well, I'm agreeing right now that I get your kind of hair. Very nice. Anyway. And praise God, but if I confess it and you agree with me, I'm not saying I want your hair. I just want some more hair to grow right here. But in our small minds sometimes, we don't believe that, oh, come on, God. He's got bigger things to do than give you a little bit more hair right there in that spot. Your mama. He got lots of time for me. I've told this story before, but real fast. Me and a friend, Trey Johnson, when we started in the ministry so many years ago, 1996 is when really I was already traveling with mom and dad, and dad was a pastor, and they led singing, and we would travel all over doing music, etc. But in 1996 is when Trey called and said, hey, let's do a college rodeo. You sing, I'll preach. I said, you got it. And that right there was the start of a major ministry, a major move of God in the rodeo world. They heard about two team roping cowboys. And good, because we were. We had practiced and practiced, and God gave us that ability where we won a lot of money team roping. So they hear about two team ropers that, I mean, not only could team rope, but they were preaching. And so calls came in from all over, and major things happened because of it. And one day, though, as we were practicing, we had ministry at night. Trey was actually going to college at Texas Tech. We lived in Lubbock. But the only time to practice team roping to keep ourselves sharp was at 6 in the morning. So we'd get up at 5, saddle our horses, and we would be practicing. I noticed a man would come almost every single morning, sit on the fence and watch us. Sometimes we visited, but most of the time we just needed to get rolling. And we didn't have a lot of time. And so I didn't talk to him a lot until one day I said, how you doing? And I noticed him being there every morning. He was a man in probably his 70s, I would say. And I just asked as a friendly person and minister, how you doing? And boy, what came out of his mouth shocked me. Now, it wasn't cuss words or anything like that, but just his belief system came out. And he said, well, I'm actually trying to sell our property. And, you know, so that's kind of weighing on my mind and things like that. Well, being a preacher, I said, well, have you ever thought about praying about it? He goes, come on, son. God does not have time to be messing with my little real estate deal. And I always say it like this because this is the truth. The roles reversed. And I became the granddad and he became the child because I looked at him and I said, how wrong you are, sir. I mean, with that attitude. How wrong you are. Now, and I was raised to respect our elders and things like that. And I was. But it moved me to begin to show him some things about the God that he served. Now, he was a believer, but yet he was a beat down believer. He might have been just an old religious believer, had the helmet of salvation on, and the rest of his body was naked. And I just said, how wrong you are, sir. The Bible says that God knows all the number of hairs on your head. You got a lot, brother. He knows every sparrow that flies, I said. And I'm telling you, he cares about your real estate deal. The point was, is in his mind, he doesn't see himself as strengthened in the might of God. He doesn't see himself as a son and a daughter of the Most High God. He only sees himself as an old little non-worthy servant, hoping to make heaven one day. Well, I reject that because the Word of God from the front to the back tells me that I can be strengthened, I can bear fruit, I can see the things of God, I can be patient, long-suffering, and then I can do it with joyfulness. I don't have to be beat up, I don't have to be busted, broke down constantly, negative things coming out of my mouth. No, I can remain in joy because if I remain in joy, Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord produces the strength that he just declared strengthened with all might. I want to live in joy. I don't want the world to beat me down so much that I lose the faith of Jesus Christ. The knowledge. This stuff doesn't work. I remember someone when they got a hold of tithing and those kind of things, the money stuff in the Bible. You know, that splits churches for some reason. I never understood that. I mean, the thing that people worked hours and hours and hours for. And you say one thing biblically about finances and people get offended. They're just trying to get it from me. Which tells me that money's more important to you than the knowledge increasing of God. Because if you do it God's way, woo, God will bless your socks off financially. He just got to get you in that. Well, they started tithing. Now, they were in their 40s, so they hadn't tithed for 40 years. And then after 6 months of tithing, they said, well, this stuff just doesn't work. Wait a minute. For 40 years you haven't tithed, and you're trying it for 6 months? I mean, God's got to get all the junk out of your life of the unbelief and not doing the stuff where he can trust you to stay hooked in the kingdom of God. Well, it's the same with the knowledge of God. Man, God's just saying, hey, stay hooked, man. Stay hooked in these days. Stay hooked. Don't you dare give up. Don't you lose your joy. No, stay strengthened with God's might. You see. Now, let's move on just real fast. It's 11:48. So we'll end right here in verse 12. Look at this. It's a very, very, very important weapon. Giving. Look at it. Look at y'all's Bibles. It's very important to bring your own Bible to church because you need to look at it and see this stuff. Say it with me. The first two words. Giving thanks. In the Amplified, it says the same thing. Giving thanks. Thanks. Say that with me again. Ready? Go. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of his inheritance of the saints of light. Woo! That ought to make some people scream right there. We're the saints of life, of light. We have an inheritance. The key, though, is being thankful. I'm constantly, constantly saying, oh, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Oh, thank you for my life. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Because see, that's a very important part of the weapons that we need in our lives today. Just being thankful. Thank you, sir, that I woke up this morning. I mean, older people understand that more. Young people, they don't. Amen. I made it another day, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you for my relationships. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you, Lord, that I'm the head, not the tail. Thank you, Lord, that I'm more than a conqueror through you. Oh, thank you for loving me. Thank you, thank you, thank you for forgiving me, sir. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for dying. That's why we remembered the broken body and the blood. The thankfulness is so important to a believer. So what you're believing God for right now, be thankful. Now, remember, the Bible says you call things that be not as though they were, right? So when I'm believing God for something, I'm constantly thanking Him for it before it comes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the harvest. I mean, sometimes people don't understand why I'm thankful for God for favor. I mean, even in the little things. I thank God every time I go to a restaurant for favor in the parking lot. Some would say, well, but you need to walk. There's nothing wrong with us walk. Well, there's nothing wrong that we walk from the car straight to the door in 10 steps. People don't understand. Before we get there, Jamie, hear me say, hey, I plead the blood. I pray for favor. Thank you, Lord, for favor in the parking lot. And if Jamie, and she does now, if she'll say, I agree with that, then praise God, there's always, she's amazed that I get most of the time the best parking spot. Matter of fact, she's kind of perturbed sometimes because I make sure the big 450 truck fits in that little compact spot because it was mine. And she's like, yeah, but I can't get out. It doesn't matter, baby. We got the spot. You know, I mean, yeah, but baby, it doesn't matter. Have you watched the Dukes of Hazzard? Crawl out the window, mama. Seth, on the other hand, is praise God. Yeah, I'd like to do that, Dad. Pull the top down and I'll just crawl out the top. But I got the spot. She's like, yeah, but there's another spot right there that the truck can fit in. No. All I was doing is thanking God for favor. You see the point, right? Come on, y'all. In these days, we just got to know who we are in Christ Jesus. Some might go, come on, that's taking it a little far. Not for me, because I know the inheritance that I have in Jesus Christ. Not prideful, not trying to outdo someone, not trying to be me. No, I was just thanking God for favor in the parking lot. But what about all the other stuff that really matters? You know, what about all that? Well, you have an inheritance. The people are to be seeing the blessing of God in your life. I mean, you're a king's kid. What kingdom do you live in? What are your rights as a believer in Jesus? Who are you in Christ? What kingdom? That means the next time you try to talk bad about yourself, you stop that and you hold your tongue. And you start confessing that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God who is worthy. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I will succeed. I will not give up. I might have to endure, but I'm staying. Nothing, you're not going to, devil, you're not going to drive me away. I'm going to keep standing until I get the manifestation, until I get what I'm believing God for. And you know, it'll if it's lined up with the Word of God, I mean, it'll come to pass. If you're trying to be goofy, you know, for God to drop you $1 million on top of your head in a sack, well, if you hadn't sowed the seed, it's not going to happen. But if you sowed the seed, let God bring it to you anyway. I mean, Glenn Smith, my spiritual dad, was praying. Since I've got 5 minutes, I'll tell this story. And they just got home from a major ministry trip, had no money, were tired, didn't want to go cook, wanted to go get a hamburger. And he didn't even have a $20 bill. He didn't, and the petty cash for the ministry was locked in the office, and he didn't have his keys because Jay Canasser, that was running the ministry, had the keys. And he just said, "Lord, I just need $20 to go eat, sir." And a tumbleweed rolled by in Post, Texas, and a $20 bill was in it. Come on, y'all. Oh, what a coincidence. Well, yo mama there too. No, that was God. You see, come on, y'all. Get your vision out there. I'm not talking being goofy. I'm talking about believing God because of who you are in Christ. Forget about sin. We'll talk about that next time. Sin jacks a lot of people up because it makes them feel unworthy. They've messed up. They hurt the Father or whatever. Wait a minute. There's mercy. There's grace. Just quit doing it. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, thank you. Oh, I want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for our time with you, that we can just find out more, gain more knowledge of you. But Father, I thank you, Lord, we're peculiar people. We're in a different kingdom when you're a kingdom. So Father, right in the midst of all chaos, we have peace, we have joy, we have patience, assurance, praise God. Thank you for that, sir. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that it'll work for any believer if we would just believe it. All things are possible to him that believes. And we are believers and not doubters. So thank you, sir. Thank you for the Word of God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Before I say amen, I want to ask, are all of you born again? I told the Lord years ago, and most of you know this, that I would not leave any kind of service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. Not some church, not some denomination. I don't want you to trust in some preacher. I want you to trust in the Jesus, the Son of God, that died for you. But is He your Lord? Have you confessed Him with your mouth as Lord and believed in your heart? Romans 10:9, that God raised him from the dead. Do you believe that he's now seated at the right hand of the Father, praying? The Bible calls it intercessing for you and I, interceding. When you stand before God, and one day all of us will, remember, God calls it, the Bible calls it the great judgment day. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Will God say, enter into the rest, R-E-S-T, the joy of the Lord, heaven, because Jesus is your Lord. Remember, John 14 says that he's the way, truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. So you have to receive Jesus, the Son of God. We know John 3:16, of course. So all of us, let's pray a prayer. If you're here this morning or you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to ask you to do it right now. Now, I can't make you. A lot of preachers think they can make people give their lives to the Lord. I can only lay it in front of you. You're going to have to decide to believe in a Jesus that our country celebrates on Christmas. And a Jesus that our country celebrates called Easter, His resurrection. But I can't make you. What I can do, though, is lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask all the believers in here, or if you're even watching, say this prayer with me. You need to learn it so you can lead others to Jesus that won't come to church. But I'm going to ask all the believers in here to pray this prayer as well, because we'll possibly be praying it with someone beside us or behind us. We'll just pray it with you. We'll help you. If you're here this morning and never made Jesus the Lord of your life, pray this prayer. And we're going to pray Romans 10:9. You ready? So out of our mouth, let's pray it just like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus, You are my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that You've been raised from the dead. And I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I'm still living here on this earth, I'm going to treat this earth like heaven. Thank You, Jesus, that You're my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Don't look up just for a second. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, when I count to three, I want you to be bold. Raise your hand up and say, God, I prayed that prayer and Jesus is now my Lord. And then just put your hand right back down. That's what you're doing by raising it. You're saying, I confess that Jesus is my Lord. So when I count to three, if that was you, I want you to get your hand up and say, I just gave my life to Jesus, and then put your hand right back down. I want you to do it with boldness. One, ready? Two, three, go. Just put your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Anybody else? Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Thank God people get saved at this church. Amen.